Yeah, today I just want to look at, it's an account that's actually in three of the Gospels. It's not in John, but it's in the other three. So let's look at Matthew first, Matthew 9, 1 to 8, and then I just want to read it in Luke as well. But our first one will be Matthew 9, 1 to 8. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over and came to his own town. Some men brought him a paralytic lying on a mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had been given such authority to men, who had given such authority to men. Now, if we go over to Luke 5, and it's verse 17. We'll start there. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." And the account in Mark is very similar to Luke. It has more of those details in it. Now, at this time, it seems that Jesus had begun to call disciples, but they all hadn't been called yet. Matthew, I think it says in all three, Matthew is called after that event. And so there are others still being gathered. But Jesus has been performing miracles, and people are getting to know more about him as the time goes by. Matthew obviously knew about the account, the event, because he documented it. In Luke and Mark's accounts, we read about the man's friends who displayed such determination to get their friend to Jesus. They went to all sorts of struggle to do what they did. And how many of us might consider going to that length for the sake of a friend to be healed? I don't know, those questions just started to rise in me as I was reading that. Many people, because of the faith of these friends, many people witnessed a miracle that day. There was a growing number of people being exposed to the authority and the power of God being displayed through Jesus. Crowds were growing in number, and many were witnessing or would have known someone who was being touched by the power of God. And this was also causing a greater upset with the Pharisees. Opposition was rising in Galilee from all these religious leaders. And this paralyzed man was blessed to have the friends that he did. And Jesus said, his own words were, that when he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." It was the faith of the friends that was identified and recorded there. When Jesus saw the faith of the friends, he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven," because he could see the faith. Without their help, this man may have never had that encounter with Jesus. His life has been saved. He was set free from his sins, set free to live a life that showed Jesus was sent from God to do his will. Jesus healed him from a bigger problem than the fact that he couldn't walk. He was on his way to hell, and these friends saved him from that. So it just wasn't the crippled man's faith. It was also the faith of the friends. And that verse 20, which is the one where Jesus is declaring the faith of the friends, verse 20 says, yeah, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." That was a challenge to me. I thought, you know, okay, am I a friend who is willing to go the extra mile for others in order that they too may be healed and made whole or be forgiven? But let's look at the crippled man for a moment and see what we can learn from him. Because I think we can identify with this crippled man. At different times in our walk with Jesus, we might find ourselves crippled in some ways. So many of us have been maybe in a crippled state for years, but we may not have ever recognized it. We might have full use of our legs, our arms, and we can physically walk and do things. But what about our relationships with people or with God or even with ourselves? Do we need to be forgiven and set free to get up and walk and live our lives in the power of God and get on with what God wants? And I was wondering about things that could cripple us, and these are just some of the things I was thinking of. You might be able to add to this list, or it might be something that you're struggling with now. But things that came to me was like carrying a grudge, maybe for years, unable to forgive. It's like that can have a stranglehold, can't it, on our lives, on our minds and on our hearts. And we justify our attitudes when it's actually sin. What about feelings of failure and not measuring up? And we might blame different things, but it can cripple us. Maybe due to, you know, we only focus on the negative and we're unwilling to accept the times when we do achieve something for good, But we put it down. We'll say, no, there'll be still, you know, you think negatively. It can be positive, but you still bring it round on the negative. Okay, well, I think that's a crippling thing that can hold us down. And also when we do accept that I have been able to achieve something, if we can tend to think in the negative, because we don't want the responsibility that goes with that achievement, because there might be something that there's a responsibility there, and we don't really want to do that because we might feel like we might let somebody else down. You know, it can just bring it round. What about the fear of losing control? That's really putting our faith on the line when we're called to do something that we want to keep in our own control. We need to stay in our comfort zone. What about self-importance, pride? That's a struggle, I think, because you've got to keep maintaining. It still doesn't bring freedom because everything is based on our own priorities, our own strengths, not God's plan. Guilt can be a crippling thing and that we can carry for years. Not willing to accept God's love and willingness to forgive, or that he can forgive us too. But not willing to forgive ourselves and let go of whatever has happened in the past and move on. Because we can learn from those things, but we don't need to live it and continue to live it. We can let it go. These things aren't physical things, but they can sure affect our physical state. So we pray for healing for all the sicknesses we carry, but actually it's the hidden things that are the root problem. God knows all about it, just like he knew what those Pharisees were thinking. And he says, your sins are forgiven. Pick up your mat and walk. Live for me and I will show you who you are. Trust me. Sometimes other things can actually look godly, like being so busy doing the good stuff. We don't have time for God. We're doing it for God, but maybe it's not what he wants us to do. I can remember being caught up in all that quite a few years ago, being so busy doing the good stuff. But I was worn out as well. And we need to take an honest look at our lives occasionally to check if we are filling our time, our minds, our hearts with things that have become weights that bog us down, things like fear and unrealistic expectations. And I've heard testimonies over the years of people who have lived with guilt for many years or struggled with feelings of unworthiness, never good enough, too bad to be forgiven. That mentality has held them captive, crippled from living a full life as God intended. Jesus went to the cross and he paid the price needed in order to give us a free pardon. As we live under the depressive spirit Satan whispers in our ear, and it's like we live in captivity behind an unlocked prison door. We feel trapped when all the time all we need to do is walk up to the door and push it open because it's not locked. Satan tries to get us to believe it's locked and there's nothing we can do about it. We can't get out. But Jesus says in Revelation 3, I'll read it, Revelation 3, 14 to 20. He's talking, he's speaking to the church of Laodicea. The last part of 17. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich with white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus is standing at the door and he's knocking and he says, trust me. Give all these things to me that you are holding on to. It's okay. I can deal with it. I have dealt with it. While ever we are able to take a breath, we have the opportunity to repent, to call on the name of Jesus and be healed. Just like that man we read about today, and he was in a desperate state, and his friends did everything to help him. They felt the urgency, not knowing if they would ever get another chance to bring their friend before Jesus. He was obviously in the town. Here's our chance. Let's do everything we can to get our friend to him. To make a hole in someone's roof, then lower this man, who may have been very heavy, we don't know. And that would have been a very awkward thing, to let that down evenly so the poor fella didn't fall off. And you're on this roof and you've made it weak by putting a hole in the thing. But anyway, all right. No, just so they could get him to Jesus. That's desperation. Jesus was not going to turn him away. He saw their faith. And we may identify with the man, or we may be challenged by the actions and the faith of the friends. Whichever it might be, Jesus is waiting to help us do whatever is needed so that the world may know Jesus Christ is alive and longs to see the sick healed, the lost found, the captive set free, and bring glory to God. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Praise God for those friends, is what I say. Praise God that Jesus, yeah, and he looked after it all. He looked after the Pharisees who were ready to do all the opposing. He healed the man. He set him free from his sins, and we can read about it today. That is a miracle. How many miracles have happened just so that we could have that book? Bless God. Okay, let's pray. Lord, you know everything about us. And you love us so much. Lord, I pray that we would allow you to do a deep healing in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, and show us the things that we need to repent of, that we need to surrender to you. And Lord, whatever those things might be, you know them already. And you've already paid the price for them. Thank you. And Lord, I pray now that your Holy Spirit would come and heal. Lord, as you heal the inside, may it affect the things that we struggle with blood pressure and whatever there might be, Lord. That, Father God, we would be a testimony, a walking testimony to your power and your grace. And, Lord, that we would give glory to you and share our story with others so that they too may know that you are alive. And, Lord, that you have the grace and the mercy to save them and set them free also. So we give you this day, Lord, and we give you every day of our lives. And, Lord, may we just grow ever more faithful to you, trusting in you, Lord, that whatever the door might be that might try to block us and stop us from moving forward, that we would approach that door in your holy name and declare it open and walk to you and walk in your way. Bless your name, Jesus. Amen.